You're listening to SBS Radio Living Black. We're broadcasting around the nations today on the SBS Information Network and on the National Indigenous Radio Service. I'm Michelle Lovegrove. Now, recently, a gentleman who may be known to many of you made an extraordinary announcement, and it was published across media in the country as Jeremy Geyer renounces Australia. Now, this is Murrumu Walubara Yidinji, man formerly known as Jeremy Geyer. He's in the studio with me today. A very good morning to you.
Michelle, thanks for your time and thanks for having us.
Okay, so let's just get this in context. Murrumu Walubara Yidinji, can you tell me why you have made the decision to divest yourself of a Western name and go back to your original one?
Well, I think it's very simple. And one of the important things to make it very clear now is that Jeremy Geyer was never my name. It belonged to the Crown. The given name on the state-issued, created and control-owned birth certificate was Jeremy David Joseph. So when I found out that Jeremy Geyer was, in fact, created or assumed the name, I believed that I was committing a fraud. And so I wrote back to various political leaders, like Katie Gallagher, the ACT Chief Minister, apologising for assuming the name when it was very clearly written that my given name was Jeremy David Joseph. So Murrumu Walubara Yidinji is actually the true name, the true identification, because it in that particular identification, it identifies who I am, the clan group, and I don't like using this English word, but nationality. We don't really believe in nationalism or anything like that, but for people to comprehend that, I'll use that word. So when I realised that, indeed, that I maybe or was committing fraud, I had to stop doing that. And that's why I said, look, I'm no longer eligible for the benefits of your society, and therefore I rescind all contracts with the Commonwealth of Australia and or the Crown, and I handed back as many documents and instruments and contracts that I had, and this is where I am today. So it's a very interesting journey, and that means I don't have a passport, Medicare, bank accounts,
nothing
except for a tribal Yidinji Mama identification card.
So you did go to Canberra and you did meet with people, I understand, and you divested yourself of those documents. How was that received?
Well, I think a lot of people were still in shock. A lot of the press gallery colleagues that I still enjoy very good relationships with were very supportive. Some were very intrigued by why I had done that, because a lot of them are truth seekers in their own right and have a curious nature of questioning whatever it may be and put in front of them. So they were interested in that. But, you know, I said, look, it's about living a true life. And we know that the tribal societies, in particular Yidinji, was here prior to the Europeans. Buri Bulwur, Gomani, Mulaway, Gitti, Yabanyi, Najin. That means the very first fire on Yidinji country belongs to us. We were the first ones to light that fire. And in Latin, you would probably say it as qui prior est tempora potior est jure, which means the first in time is best in law. And we know that for a fact. So we only deal with facts. Fact was that we were here before the Europeans. Another fact was that in 2012, Yidinji Tribal Society sent out a notice of claim of title to land and claim of right, and that was sent to many parties across the globe, including the Queen, the Pope, the Prime Minister, and many other people at the UN, etc. So that claim was of the tribal lands and sea and skies that we call Yitti, which is the correct name for our land. And we made that claim, and there was no counterclaim. So the Crown and the Commonwealth of Australia or anyone else around the world that was party to that communication was given 28 days to respond if they believed that they had a claim.
Did anybody respond?
Absolutely not. And in law, we're talking Crown law or whatever law that they subscribe to, that is acquiescence. or consent by default, or tacit consent. There's lots of different words.
Mm.
But if you don't respond to something, then in law you have the weaker position. So the Yidinji tribe has always had the upper standing because we know that we are the true and correct owners of the tribal land.
So, Moramor, can I just backtrack a little bit? Because we were discussing, you know, your personal decision to divest yourself of these documents and identification with a name that wasn't your own, etc. So that wasn't done in isolation, though. You're talking about your people. You're talking about Yidinji. So what is the, I guess, the support or the stance of the wider group of you? Because you are an individual as part of a group.
That's correct. There are lots of ancestral or bloodline hereditaries that haven't done what I've done. Mm-hmm. And there's very good reasons for that. I mean, we don't expect anyone to jump off the citizenship without having a plan in place or some sort of structure or things that can help feed them, or because, you know, life is very difficult at the moment for myself and my boy. So we don't have jobs, or we can't enter the world of contracts. But what we do have is a lot of people who are willing to support us, whether it's through food, petrol, or whatever it may be, or getting around to Canberra and elsewhere. We just had someone pay for a trip to the ski fields because they appreciated what we were doing. Now, while I'm not a charity case and neither is the tribe, those little things, I guess, benefits of some sort. But at the end of the day, you know, we want to sustain our own lives, and that's through our own food, our own hunting and fishing, and through engaging with the rest of the world, whether it's through trade, commerce, or on our own terms and conditions, and not part of the Crown and or the Commonwealth of Australia.
Moramor, with you saying you want to be able to basically support yourself, sustain yourselves in the manners that are most important, you know, the manners that are the traditional ways, the manners that are most important. What is happening now with your ability to be able to do that?
Well, it is very early steps in putting this all together. There is a small group that make up the tribal society, but there are a lot of people who want to jump off the ship, including Australians, or what we would say is, people would say non-Indigenous Australians. We don't call them that because you're either Australian or you're not, and we're not Australian. We're just Yidinji. So there is a very important thing that we're saying, that we don't want Australians to be forced out of their houses, or we don't want taxpayer money in terms of compensation. And we just want to be left alone to do what we want to do. And basically that, you know, our message to the Prime Minister and Tony Abbott is, hey, sit down with us and talk, because it is our wish to make an offer to negotiate to settle with the ones benefiting from our ancestral hereditaments and my property and my child's property. Because in law, if someone's taken something without your consent, then that has to be paid back. Mm-hmm. Or if someone steals a car and 20 years later, they've seen their car that they recognise, then they alert the officials or the police, and that car is given back to them straight away. So we're interested in talking with the Commonwealth of Australia and or the Crown about that. Now, while that's taking place, what else is interesting is that we've opened up our own diplomatic dialogue with UN member states like the Russian Federation, like Venezuela, like Cuba, India. We've met with the Palestinian delegation here in Canberra as well. So we are making our own diplomatic circles and letting the world know that we are not Australians.
You're listening to SBS Radio Living Black. We're broadcasting around the nations on the SBS Information Network and on the National Indigenous Radio Service. I'm Michelle Lovegrove, and I'm speaking with Moramor Walabara Yidinji about his personal decision to divest himself of the trappings of an Australian living in a country that is currently called Australia, but a continent that is very, very much older. And Moramor, you were saying just a moment ago, you know, you want to sit down with the Prime Minister and with other people here, but you've also opened up dialogue around the world. So I know I'm talking about two different things here, but let's go big first with the UN member states. What's the situation there?
The Yidinji Tribal Society has written to these plenipotentiaries and ambassadors of their own states, and we have alerted them and notified them that we are open for business, that Yidinji belongs to Yidinji, we're not part of Australia. We've given them a set of facts and timelines outlining this. Fact, that we were here before Britain. Fact, we were here before English. And another fact is that in 1901, the Yidinji Tribal Society were not party, or was not party, rather, to the Commonwealth Constitution Act.
And that's a very interesting point.
Exactly. That's why this is recognised campaign is about. They want to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders in the Constitution. Because if two people are in a room and you're watching them and they make a deal, that agreement is between them two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you didn't sign up to that contract...
We never agreed in the first place.
You never agreed in the first place. So what we're saying is, hey, look, you are admitting by your own paperwork and your own campaign to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders in the Constitution that Australian laws do not apply to anyone else but Australians. And we're clearly not Australians because we don't hold any contracts with the Commonwealth of Australia and of the Crown, and we only identify as Yidinji. Now, we've been seen by, like I said, those UN member states in Canberra that we visited as only Yidinji because we told them we only want to see you to talk about Yidinji and potential trade opportunities and political exchanges and all this kind of thing. So that is already in place. We're saying, hey, look, Australia, if you still want to do business with us, we can sit down, but we've sent them lots of documents, we've sent them lots of correspondence, but we've received nothing back except for signs of bad faith. And if it goes to an international independent jurisdiction or a court of some sort, then we believe the judge or the magistrate of that particular court will rule in favour for us because we're the ones, hey, we want to sit down. Constantly, we're going back and saying, we still want to talk peacefully. We don't have firearms, we don't hold weapons, we are very peaceful people. And we still want to talk about this business that is happening on our lands.
Mortimer, when you say you've received signs of bad faith, can you tell us what any of those are?
Yes. For example, we've asked the Crown and the Commonwealth to write back specifically addressing us in this particular format. They refused to do that. They've written back to the tribe as like we're Australians. And in fact, someone from a government department, which I won't say, has actually identified us correctly through their own paperwork, and now that is evidence, more evidence that we're putting towards our final case. Now, we don't want to be part of the United Nations or anything like that. We just want to be our
Yidinji.
Own law and Yidinji. Now, if someone like a country wants to take our particular case to the ICJ to pull into line their brother or sister state, Australia, then that's up to them. We've given reports of violations and crimes committed against the Yidinji Tribal Society to those member states that I mentioned before, like the Russian Federation, Venezuela, Cuba, India. Now, it's up to them whether they want to report those crimes and violations to the United Nations jurisdiction. They're a sovereign state. We're not bullying them into or pressuring them to do anything. But we have given it to them, and we remain confident as the Yidinji Tribal Society that those crimes and violations will be made public to the international law realm, because now Australia does not have clean hands.
You're listening to SBS Radio Living Black. I'm Michelle Lovegrove. I'm speaking with Mortimer Walabara Yidinji about Yidinji and their moves forward as a sovereign people. And we were talking on the phone, Mortimer, about this yesterday. We were talking about the terms, giving up sovereignty, rescinding sovereignty. I've had these discussions with people before. And you made a very interesting point, which stayed with me, is that you're not announcing your sovereignty because you never gave it away anyway.
It's very clear by the Crown's own paperwork that we've never ceded our territory, we've never bargained our territory, we've never treated our territory or lost it through any form of war or act of war or things like that, because there's no declaration of war that we're aware of.
Mm.
And they're the questions we asked. If you have information, if you have evidence, Commonwealth of Australia and or the Crown, then bring it forward. And they haven't done that. So it's clearly obvious and evident to us that the Commonwealth of Australia assuming control over our lands is demonstrably fallacious, to say the least. And what we're saying is now, okay, well, now that you've admitted through your silence, consented through your silence, we are going down this track. Now, you can either be our trade partners, or we can contract you somehow to maybe do the policing in our area, or whatever it may be, or we might talk to China, or we might talk to India, or Brazil, or Russia, or South Africa, who knows, about doing those duties. But at this stage, we really want to sit down with the Australian government and say, hey, look, let's be sensible, let's talk about this.
This is a similar tale to one that I've discussed with Muttawari Nation, Yuwalia Nation.
Yep, Fred Hooper, Michael Anderson, yep.
Yep, far northwest New South Wales. Now, how is what you're doing different? Is it different? Because they've gone down very specific tracks, but they are declare and have declared themselves, because they never undeclared it, as sovereign nations. But I know that Muttawari has its constitution, et cetera, et cetera. So is what you're doing different?
It is a little bit, in that we don't hold contracts with the Crown and or the Commonwealth of Australia. Yep. So we don't have licences. Now, I'm not fully up to date on what Muttawari and Yuwalawai have done so far, but we always support whoever they may be. If that's the way they do it, then that's the way they do it, and we always give them our support. And it goes with anyone else who's looking down, going down this track. Yidinji business is for Yidinji, and we're not here to say you should do it our way or whatever it may be. We're simply saying that, hey, this is us, this is who we are, and this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are interested in learning from our experience, which maybe, you know, have some good things and not so good things in the future, we don't know. But the main thing is that we do know what we're doing is right for us. And there's nothing wrong with being an Australian, let me say that straight away. If Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders want to identify as Australians, that's okay too. And we have no judgment, or we have no intentions of mudslinging against any political leader or this, that and the other, because that's not our style. You know, we are a peaceful nation, or peaceful group of people, a tribal society. We're not a nation. But the main thing to remember is to know who you are and who you are not, and what you're not in this life. And we are very clear on who we are. The rest of the world is listening.
Murumur, with you talking about the rest of the world listening and paying attention to what you are asserting, what you're reasserting, where you're moving, it's actually made me think of a conversation I had some years ago, which I've never forgotten, and I do quote on occasion, with Rosalie Connaught Monks. And she was talking to me about her desire and the desire of so many in her mob to actually basically do what you're doing and to divest themselves and to go and live the way they want to live, is to have the ability to exert their self-determination, their sovereignty, to go bush. She said, we don't want your medical systems. We don't want your welfare. We don't want that stuff. Let us go. There's one thing stopping them from doing that, it's the children. The Westminster Law says that you must send your child to school. So how are you working that out?
Well, it's very simple. If you have a contract with the Crown, then you are within the jurisdiction of the Crown. Now, if any minion of the Crown, whether it be a magistrate, a police officer, or an agent, or any other office of the Crown, or the Commonwealth of Australia, even touches us or interferes with our tribal business of life, then we have a group of Australians that are ready to start legal proceedings for slavery. Because under Section 270.1 of the 1914 Crimes Act, the Sexual Slavery and Sexual Servitude Amendment Act, it says very clearly, and this is Australian law, and it's for Australians, if you claim ownership over someone, whether it be through contract or through debt, then you will be committing slavery. 25 years each charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a police officer is claiming ownership over me by trying to contract with me, because that's what they try and do, and I'm clearly not Australian, then they'll be committing slavery. I was at a meeting a few weeks ago here in Sydney where Bob Carr was saying how proud he was negotiating with 14 Caribbean nations to say Australia needs a Security Council membership as a guest member of the Security Council, and we've got a strong stance on slavery. Well, Bob Carr, I'm glad you do, because once again, the international law realm and people living within the Commonwealth of Australia are willing to defend their constitution and stop it from falling into disrepute. And the Prime Minister and George Brandis, the Attorney General, must be aware of this. If any one of the tribal society is touched or interfered with, then slavery will take place in the proceedings in their own court and the international realm. That's the power of not being in contract with the Commonwealth of Australia and or the Crown. So no one can touch my son or me or any other member of the tribe, because if they do, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
So is your son going to school?
He goes to school, and because, you know, he can learn the English language, but we also teach him at home. Now, because that school's on Yidinji territory, then we have every right to access it, same with the hospital or the airports or whatever else may be on there, because what's attached to the land belongs to the land. Superficie solo credit. And because the Commonwealth of Australia and of the Crown has not responded to our notices and our claims of possession, then all those things belong to us. That's why you can maybe own your house on a piece of paper, but you can never own the land. And that's why homeowners are just tenants, really. If you look at your anyone who has the legal documents in front of them, you don't own the land. And I don't know if people are telling you that or not, but we don't want to live a life of voluntary servitude. And the tribal society is very strong on that. So, yes, we do have concerns about that. But at the end of the day, we have the upper standing in our tribal law. And not only that, Australian law and international law protects us from anyone interfering with us.
So with support in Australia, who's supporting you at the moment?
Well, there's a number of people. In fact, when I did a presentation at the ANU a few weeks ago, we had a number of very powerful Christian groups who claim to represent more than 8,000 churches around Australia attend. They're very supportive of our campaign and watching it very closely, because we're saying to them, Gayabara Gupi is our supreme creator, and we follow the laws of Gayabara Gupi. We don't follow man-made law. And everything that we're saying, we follow God's law, what they would call God. So that strikes a very, very sweet chord with a lot of the religious groups, albeit whether it's the Muslim community or the Christian community or the Buddhists or whoever it may be. We have lots of support there. We have lots of support within the Cairns area, Gimoy, that's what we call Cairns, through businesses and other people giving us stuff and helping us out. So we don't have a lack of support. Well, what we do have a lack of is respect from this arrogant political advisors, because I don't think Tony Abbott knows about this, because I know Tony Abbott through my dealings at the federal parliament, my 2 years there, and he used to give me interviews all the time, and we'd had chats together. He'd have photos with my son, and same with George Brandis. Now, if they aren't aware of it, then they should be aware of it. Maybe their minders aren't telling them these things and passing it on. So that's what we're saying. Hey, Tony, talk with us. If you're going to go to Yirrkala and talk with Yolna, then come and sit down with us in Yitti and speak with the Yidinji Tribal Society.
And moving forward,
Michelle, I can tell you now, I can't speak about it really in depth, but we have plans for our own banking system that is separate to any other banking system in the world with other tribal groups around the planet. It's very serious. You know, we're talking about a credit system, not a debit system. We're not into usury or charging people interest on loans and forcing them into a contract where it may indebt them for their lives. We don't own your sweat. We don't want to own your sweat. We want you to enjoy the benefits of our land. And that's what we're saying to any Australian born in our land and our tribal land. If you're born there, you have a beneficial interest to be part of our tribal society if you choose to be part of it and be pursuant to tribal law. But if you don't, that's okay too. You can be with the Commonwealth of Australia or another citizen from another country. But what we're saying is that people should be offered that. When a child is, a newborn is welcomed on our lands, then those mums and dads should be offered at that hospital. You want to be an Australian citizen, or do you want to be part of the tribal society? And the tribal society will help look after your child through law, language, culture, and all those other things that we hold dear to our hearts. You know, we're not elitist in that regard, and we're not wanting to kick people off our lands, because why would we? Those people on our lands who are born on our lands are blessed by our supreme creator. And that's how we see it.
Mutumubalabara Yidinji, thank you very, very much for coming in and having yarn with us. And please, let's have some regular conversations about where you're headed, you know, what you're able to talk about and when.
Hey, look, may your God protect you, or your gods protect you. And if you don't believe in a God, then may you bless one another.
Thank you.
Thank you.